That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand-Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden delivered a speech closing out the 80th D-Day commemorations and urging nations to step up to fight today's threats against democracy, including, he says, Russia's war in Ukraine. The president meeting with Ukraine's leader earlier today in France, too. ABC's Mary Bruce is in France.
This speech was also very much aimed at a domestic audience back home. You'll note the president, of course, didn't mention Donald Trump by name, but the contrast between the two certainly were clear. The president has argued that Donald Trump is a danger to democracy. He is arguing that he will protect and defend those principles going forward.
In Delaware, the federal gun trial of Hunter Biden has adjourned for the day. It began with prosecutors resting their case and the defense calling its own witnesses, including Hunter Biden's daughter, Naomi. Hunter Biden is accused of lying about his drug use on a 2018 form when buying a gun. Residents in Maryland still cleaning up following this week's string of tornadoes. This is ABC News. An unexpected victory for one U.S. team, plunging its players into the spotlight.
Texas, land of cowboys, longhorns, and cricket. Not that kind of cricket, but...
there's a slow ball that finds the fielder.
In Grand Prairie, Texas, the U.S. cricket team has orchestrated a shocking defeat of powerhouse Pakistan. Monong Patel is captain of Team USA.
Beating Pakistan in World Cup is going to open many doors for us.
And perhaps, he says, cast a new light on one of the world's most popular sports that most Americans have never seen played. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
A new recall has been issued for more than 1.2 million rechargeable lights. The integrated light bars from Good Earth Lighting have batteries that could overheat and catch on fire, with one possible consumer death being investigated over smoke inhalation from one of those fires. Los Angeles police arresting two people accused of running a retail theft ring that included more than 2,800 boxes of Legos. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ahlen. With the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee a little more than a month away, some security details are being contested.
Rules approved by the Milwaukee Common Council require people protesting within the convention's general security zone to march a specified route, but that route and other details regarding demonstration sites aren't yet public. The Coalition to March on the RNC and the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin filed a lawsuit Wednesday. They allege rules governing parade and protest activity unlawfully limit where protesters can exercise their First Amendment rights. Meanwhile, U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle says security plans for the convention are still being finalized. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin Democrats are holding their annual convention this weekend in Milwaukee. State Party Chair Ben Wakeler says legislative races will be a major focus.
We're looking at flipping state legislative seats and winning an assembly majority and breaking the Republican supermajority in the state Senate. That is a sea change moment.
Wakeler says there will also be plenty of discussion on how to defeat Donald Trump in the crucial state. Trump is expected to accept the Republican nomination for president at the party's convention in Milwaukee next month. Protesters were led out of the University's of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting Thursday.
About 12 pro-Palestinian protesters interrupted the regents meeting at UW-Milwaukee, continuing their calls for the UW system to cut ties with Israel over the country's continued attacks on Gaza. Police cited seven of them for disorderly conduct and escorted them from campus. Campus officials say they respect people's rights to protest, but that guidelines for the meeting meant no one was allowed to shout or hold signs. Raymond Newbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Don't miss the 2024 Northern Wisconsin State Fair, July 10th through the 14th in Chippewa Falls. We've got your favorite fair food, the rides, and the games, and don't forget the animals and exhibits. It's all at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And on the Line and Cool's main stage, it's One Vision of Queen featuring Mark Martel, Lee Bryce, Ludacris, and Wisconsin's very own Charlie Barron. Purchase tickets and learn more at NWSFA.com. We'll see you at the fair.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A dry and sunny day today, but we're still battling a breezy wind, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Otherwise, warmer today with high temperatures tapping the mid-70s. Clouds increase overnight and rain rolls in by the morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 72.
The grain markets gave us hope for a rally yesterday and drained that hope away with a defensive finish to the week today. Live cattle and lean hog futures were mixed. Feeder cattle were sharply higher, and the cattle market had another tough finish to another bad week.
Live with Tractor Cab Confessions via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Ryan Wagner from Bolt Marketing. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, hey, there's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
I want to draw zero connection between what is happening on today's show and that old, what was it, taxi cab confessions?
Couldn't tell you, Chip. Wouldn't know. Not familiar. Not familiar. No, I don't. Is this something?
That show was awful. That show was so awful.
Welcome to AgriTalk,
everybody.
No idea what we're talking about or what I'm talking about, huh, Davis? None?
None whatsoever.
All right. Well, this is a brand new concept that we are bringing to you all called Tractor Cab Confessions.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to this. You know what? You need to lay down some theme music.
Okay.
You need to come up with a couple of games, maybe.
Okay.
We're gonna play.
Okay.
I personally will just get ready to have a markets-based conversation with a farmer and a risk manager from Northeast South Dakota. How does that sound?
I'll get Fozzie Bear to play the guitar music. Waka 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 waka. Kind of a thing.
Love it.
Is that what you're thinking?
Love it. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow.
You got it.
Welcome.
You got it.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Big Apple Joe was in the mix there, too.
Yeah, he is.
We're going to have a conversation with Ryan Wagner, Bolt Marketing, on today's show. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, and we just found out he's in the tractor cab. That's where that comes from. This is why I bring it up. Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. Hopefully, there's probably going to be some alarms going off and all of that during the conversation, which is just going to be incentive to keep things moving along, right?
A little match the bells in my head. Yeah, let's do it.
right. Let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Chip, front month soft red winter wheat futures opened steady today and at the high of the day and pushed down to test support at 625. Today marked the 8th consecutive lower close in July SRWD futures and the lowest close since May 3rd. Reports that Turkey will ban wheat imports from June 21 until October 15 sent the market lower today. Traders speculate the Turkish ban on imports will send Russian wheat into other markets this summer. The start of the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop also encouraged some pre-weekend hedge selling. After yesterday's slightly higher settlement, front-month HRW futures closed lower for the 7th time in 8 sessions while spiking support at the May 17 low. July HRW wheat futures today 12¼ cents lower at 665¾. July SRW wheat down 12½ to 627½. July spring wheat closed at 694½, down 12¼ cents today.
You know, I'll admit, when I first heard that the Turkish ban on wheat imports, my first thought was, it's no big deal. Come on.
You think Turkey's jiving?
And the story is probably going to change. How many times between now and even June 21st when this ban is going to start? But, boy, I tell you what, the market, the wheat market, went on the defensive based on that story today, and it was not a pretty close to the week. It was not a very pretty week for the wheat trade either. July SRW wheat futures down 51 cents. July HRW futures down 43. And July spring wheat right along for the ride down 45¼.
Well, Chip, July corn opened steady and spiked resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to test support at 445 today. Front month corn ended with a mid-range close and with slight gains on the week. The condition of the U.S. corn crop limited buying interest throughout the week, and July corn has closed lower in 8 of the last 9 sessions. Jeez. The weather forecast calls for a drier bias in the Midwest, with heat making its way into the Corn Belt by mid-month. Traders currently see no red flags for the corn crop, which will make it difficult to trigger an upside correction. July corn futures today 3¼ cents lower at 448¾. September corn down 3 to 454¾. December corn futures closed at 467¼, down 2¼ cents, Chip.
We'll talk about this with Ryan, but here's the deal. You got a 2 billion bushel corn carryover projection hanging over the market with crop conditions of 75% good to excellent. That's not the right mix to build upside momentum in this corn market. Mm-hmm. On the week, July corn futures down just 2½ cents. Okay. December corn was down just 0.25 cents this week.
Huh. All right. Well, July beans gave back most of yesterday's sharp gains. Front month beans ended near the low of the week and just under support at 11.80. Traders this week have been factoring in a slowdown in Chinese demand for U.S. soybeans and basically ignored this morning's announcement from USDA that China, in fact, did buy 104,000 metric tons of U.S. old crop soybeans. The weather forecast for the U.S. crop is expected to favor soybean crop development at least until the middle of the month. The sell-off in soybean oil again this week was an anchor on soybean prices. July beans today 20¾ cents lower at 11.79¼. August beans off 6¾ to 11.76¾. November beans closed at 11.57¾, down 9¼ cents.
July soybean meal today down $2.10. July soybean oil was down 72 points. So the product market, anything to help the bean market today, just like all week when you get right down to it. July soybeans this week down 25¾ cents. November beans down 26¾ cents. July bean oil down 189 points. And July soybean meal was down $4 a ton.
Well, on the day-to-day, Chip, July cotton was 160 points lower at 73.84. How about the week?
Down 231 points on the week. And here's the deal. Just real quickly, I'm picking up and trying to get better informed on exactly what is going on in this cotton market. And it's anybody, the big part of the problem right now is China is buying anything but U.S. cotton. They are looking for any other source than U.S. cotton to fill their needs, and it is showing up in U.S. cotton prices.
Well, live cattle trade flatlined this week, just under resistance at 182.50. Expectations of steady to lower cash bids limited buying interest, while still strong demand for beef limited selling. June fat cattle today were 35 cents higher at 182.17 and a half. October futures up 2.5 cents, 179.67 and a half. And August feeder futures up 207 and one half to 254.92 and a half. And June lean hogs today 37 and one half higher at 92.52 and a half. The October contract down a dime, 79.10. Chip.
All right, get this. Heavyweight choice graded boxed beef this morning was $1.04 higher to $317.25 a hundred. That's a new high.
Yeah.
If I think that's a new high anyway. I don't recall anything above 317 in the past.
Neither
so here it is. And movement was pretty good. 76 loads traded. On the week, June live cattle up 62 and one half cents. August feeder cattle down, even with today's sharp gains. Feeder cattle, August feeder cattle down 147.50. And June lean hogs on the week down 182 and a half. So, all right, we've got Ryan Wagner coming up next here on AgriTalk.
We are joined now by Brad Hammes, product specialist with Helena Agri Enterprises based in Iowa. Brad, what do you want farmers thinking about to get the most out of what they've got going on in the field right now? What do they need to focus on?
With the challenges that we've had this spring, it was really about how do we maximize what's out there, whether it's everything that you hoped it was or it is what it is. We got to get the most out of it. And that means that in-season passes are going to be critical this year. You know, they give a grower an opportunity to make up for nutrients that were maybe lost or less available based on the weather pattern that they've experienced. And it can also, once we get to that point, it can help the crop transition into reproduction better. If we have the good nutritional standing and we have some different products that, like Full Scale, that can really pair well with your fungicides to help maybe spur that plant into that development. And that also has a nutritional package along it with the three plant nutrient extracts and the three plant extracts to help crops utilize its resources more effectively.
Okay, perfect. But I need to know more about Full Scale and the plant extracts. How do they work?
Yeah, the plant extracts in Full Scale, what they're designed to do is to improve the movement of nutrients and sugars to where they're needed during reproduction, into those reproductive structures, whether that's the cob, the pods, depending on the crop that you're working with. They set your crop up to perform at its best when it matters the most during those reproductive phases, because that's really what it takes to make more grain, produce and fill more pods, improve the harvest test weight. Plus, Full Scale is made with Helena's ENC formulation technology, and that's going to help it be really easy to mix, apply, and be very compatible with anything else you're going to want to put in the tank with it.
Outstanding, Brad. Hey, where can listeners go for more information?
Visit HelenaAgri.com for more information on Full Scale and to find your local Helena representative.
All right, perfect, Brad. Thank you. That is Brad Hammes, product specialist with Helena Agri Enterprises.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
I'm all hopped up on pork on AgriTalk now.
For the ladies! Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Well done. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. That is Davis.
Hello.
Oh, man. Oh, man. What a week. We had a great week. The coverage at the World Pork Expo, the conversations that we had, mm-hmm. I thought they were really, really important conversations about issues that matter to producers right now, and some mm-hmm. Some big thoughts coming out of those conversations as well. The conversation that we had with Dr. Frank Mintlerner from UC Davis, the Clear Center there, about how the attitude and the view of sustainability in the hog industry has evolved over time. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of being redefined again as we speak. And it's happening in a positive light. I think it's really important. So if you didn't hear those conversations on Wednesday and Thursday, take time over the weekend and give them a listen. I think, they are definitely worth it. Okay. Let's head up to Northeast South Dakota conversation with Ryan Wagner, Bolt Marketing. Ryan, man, it's been too long. How are you?
Well, pretty good, Chip. That's the only confession you're going to get out of me from this tractor cab today is these planting sins we've been committing over the last couple weeks here, mudding this corn crop in. So I'll just leave it at that, I guess.
We would prefer that. Yeah, let's just leave it there.
I'm going to need a little bit more detail. Just how ugly has it been?
Well, since about the middle of May, even the first week of May, it's probably been the roughest stretch of trying to get a crop planted that I can remember in my career. And, you know, I'm not real prone to hyperbole, but, I mean, it will not give us an opportunity. We've had rain about every 3 or 4 days just as it gets dry enough to go plant. We get some more rain. So got off to a good start. You know, we were rolling in the middle of April, got the wheat done in good shape, and got a good start on corn, and between May 14th and about last week, I think we had maybe 8 hours suitable for planting. It's been a struggle, but we're getting there. We've got a couple of days left here trying to finish up, and I think we'll be okay. We're not going to have too much prevent plant, but it's been a struggle to say the least.
Ryan, there's some speculation. I shouldn't say that it's huge or widespread, but there's talk in the market that some acres are moving from corn to soybeans. Is that even an option for you guys?
It is, and it's happening on my farm, actually.
Okay.
We've got not a huge amount of acres, just a couple pieces that are, you know, stay wet, and they just never had an opportunity to get in there. So we will be putting those to soybeans. They were intended to do corn. They were wheat stubble. They're wheat last year, which we usually put all of our wheat stubble to corn. But this year, just not going to happen. And we do have anhydrous out there from last fall, so I guess we're going to have a little test plot to see how soybeans react to corn levels of nitrogen that already applied. So
I can tell you right now, growers have been in that situation before. Just get ready to burn them back with some herbicide at some point, slow them down and, you know, piss them off. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, yeah. Maybe a little cobra might be in play.
Hey, it used to be, we couldn't raise beans unless we turned them brown.
Right. Yeah. Go back to the good old days, I guess.
That's right. Oh, craziness, man. Talk to me a little bit more about that wheat crop. Is your situation general? Did most of the wheat crop get planted on time up there?
Yeah, it did for the most part. You know, as you probably know, our area is not a huge spring wheat area. Just a few of us diehards left to grow it. But, you know, in our area, it all went into pretty good shape. It looks really good. I think the same is true for most areas that grow it around the west of here. You know, North Dakota might have struggled a little bit to get the last of it in late. You know, they got some of that rain that we got over the last 3 weeks as well. But our wheat looks the best out of the three crops so far.
Okay.
Okay.
We like the cool and wet, and that's what we've got lately for weather.
Right. Okay. Man, it'll be interesting to see how all these crops develop in that region and just exactly what this what the tough planting season is going to do to the total mix of acres. There's still a lot of bean acres to plant up in North Dakota, isn't there?
There are, yep. There's a lot of bean acres in South Dakota, too, in the northeast part of the state. And, you know, just not too far away from here, 30 miles to the northeast. I know a couple guys that have got virtually nothing planted, you know, maybe a few acres of corn earlier and still haven't planted any beans. There's going to be some decisions having to be made here over the next couple of weeks on what to do. And maybe those decisions will be made for us by the weather if there isn't an opportunity to get in. But
right.
I know I hate to oversell it. I mean, it's not a huge area, but, you know, it just happened to be right here where we're right at and affecting us getting this crop in on time.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. So do you feel like the markets have done an adequate job of reflecting what's going on out there in trying to get it? Last 10% of the corn crop is always the toughest to get planted. We know that. Is the market reflecting that this year, though?
You know, I think it's doing a good job of reflecting that. I mean, the last 10%, like you said, is always the toughest to get in. But I mean, that's the case every year. And once we made it to that 50% mark by the second week of May, and by 70% by the end of May, or 75% by the end of May, I think the market realized that, you know, those are kind of the key benchmarks for achieving a national trend line yield. So, the sell-off lately kind of makes sense because we have eliminated a lot of the drought concerns for now across the heart of the Corn Belt. You know, some of those areas in Iowa and Illinois that were showing up on the drought monitor, you know, just a couple months ago, these rains this spring have alleviated a lot of that. So when you're trading weather and the calendar flips from May to June, rain turns from bullish to bearish. So I think the market action lately actually makes a lot of sense for the pullback we've seen.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And man, oh man, Ryan, it has, as you, like you said, it's not been an easy season, but you get into some areas and it's as good as they've ever seen it, if not the best that they've ever seen it this year. And then there's the spots that just simply are not going to get planted and a real mixed bag. You know, the one thing that I do want people to think about, though, when we talk about the condition of the corn crop and the planting progress and everything, is the last few years, when planting was done, it was done. There is some replanting that had to go on, and there's always some prevent plant out there, but it's not like, you know, in a 40-acre field that there was a 4-acre or a 5-acre drown-out spot someplace in that field. Or if you get even bigger, you know, go to a quarter section, 160 acres, and maybe, you know, maybe it's 20 acres that have had water sitting on them, and it's creating holes in that corn crop. It's the market at some point is going to have to deal with all those holes and all those uncertainties at some point, right, Ryan?
Yeah. If they're big enough, you know, on a big scale, and the acres aren't there, the yield isn't there due to those holes. I think that you will see the market reflect that. I guess in my opinion, oftentimes when we see these localized issues like this, it's more reflected in the basins than it is in the futures. And good maybe point. That's what will happen this year. You know, in our area, we're definitely going to have some corn deficit areas. We have some dairies around that are going to struggle to find corn, I think. And there's going to be some ethanol plants that may have to bid up a little higher than they're used to. But, I mean, that's the job of basins is to get the corn from where it is, where it isn't. So, I mean, that's not unlike any year.
Right. Absolutely. Is corn basis doing anything strange up in your part of the world right now?
No, nothing real strange. I mean, it's been stronger lately on the setback. I wouldn't call it real strong, but, you know, we've seen ethanol bids creep up there a little bit, back to a little bit more normal levels. Soybean basis is still awfully weak. lack of export program primarily to do with that. But I think the crushers are not having any trouble finding beans at this point. So we've seen basis back off on soybeans, but corn actually has been a little stronger lately, which is
okay.
Which is nice to see, I guess, and expect yep. to see on a setback like this.
Okay. All right. Excellent. We're in the middle of a conversation with Ryan Wagner, Bolt Marketing. I want to talk about some of those demand issues a little bit more. What do you see happening in the biofuels industry? You're up in an area where the crush capacity is expanding or should be expanding fairly rapidly. What kind of an impact is that going to have on the markets going forward? Ryan Wagner on AgriTalk.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 12 and one quarter cents lower at 665 and three quarters. July SRW wheat down 12 to 627 and one half. July corn futures were 3¼ cents lower at 448 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 467 and one quarter, down 2¼ cents. July soybean futures were 20¾ cents lower today to 11.79 and one quarter. November beans closed at 11.57 and three quarters, down 9¼ cents. July cotton today 160 points lower, 73.84. June fat cattle 35 cents higher on the day, 182.17 and a half. And August feeder futures jumped 207 and one half to 254.92 and one half. June lean hogs were 37 and one half cents higher at 92.52 and one half. Visit tryprofarmer.com for more.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A dry and sunny day today, but we're still battling a breezy wind, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Otherwise, warmer today with high temperatures tapping the mid-70s. Clouds increase overnight and rain rolls in by the morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 72.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to Agri Talk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got Ryan Wagner in a tractor cab up in northeast South Dakota. Ryan, of course, is with Bolt Marketing and a producer up in northeast South Dakota. Okay, before we talk too much about soybeans, talk to me about your risk management attitude on corn here, Ryan. I said it at the start of the show. You got that 2 billion plus bushel carryover that's kind of hanging over the market, and now we've got the national crop condition rating at 75%, good to excellent, with most of the crop planted. What does that do to your risk management attitude?
Yeah, well, the run-up that we had during a little bit of a slow start to planting and you know, the run on December corn right up near $5, we were aggressively selling that. And the reason I was talking about to people was, you know, in 2019, I get these numbers in my head that I remember in 2019, you know, the slowest planting year of all time, we went right up to 474 and stopped and turned around. You know, we came from a lot lower level, but so once we got up into that area, you know, 474 on up to 485, we did some more, and 495 had some targets there to do some more. We were aggressively, you know, aggressive for early sellers anyway. Not everybody likes to hedge early, but, you know, getting in that 30 to 40% neighborhood for corn hedges on in that area. So,
okay.
So we were, you know, rewarded the market when it rallied and got stuff on that we were comfortable with, which wasn't easy to do at the time because, you know, we were standing still and not getting anything planted. But I guess, you know, in this business, you got to have a little leap of faith sometimes that you're actually going to get something to sell. And I guess that's why we hedge rather than do the cash sales up front, because you don't have the delivery requirement that you do on forward sales. So that's why I like to do my board hedges first. So we did get some sold and on that rally and cleaned up a lot of old crop as well.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, as far as the old crop goes, we should not ignore it. There's still some old crop out there. If you didn't take the last opportunity to move.
Right. Yeah, we've had lots of opportunities to sell this old crop. So, I mean, if you haven't sold by now, you know, we've been in this area multiple times before from many different directions, came at it from below, came at it from above. You've had your chances, I guess, and you know, it's okay to leave a few gambling bushels or whatever you want to call them out there unsold to the very end, so maybe you can grab a few more pennies. But yeah, it's going to be that time of year when the, you know, in a couple of weeks' time here, the seasonals are going to be a headwind and not a tailwind, so it's time to get those old crop bushels cleaned up.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, the expansion in the bean demand up in your part of the world, the crush facilities. What's the story now, Ryan? Are you satisfied with the pace at which it's coming on, or what's going on?
Well, you know, the plant nearest to us, the AGP plant in Aberdeen, has been running for a couple of years, so I'm very happy with that. But, you know, we do get a lot of beans down out of North Dakota. He's up there and the one in Jamestown. I'm not sure what the status is on that or if it's a little bit behind pace, but yeah, in general, the better, you know, the quicker it can come online, the better, because our basis has been slipping in beans lately and we just need more local demand. So,
real quick, Ryan, it's just so unusual not to be loading trains with beans out of your part of the world to send them over to the PNW to export into China. And it's just not, it's not happening, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, you don't have to go back very far 5 years ago and pretty much every soybean produced in this area went west on rail. Yeah. So it's been quite a shift for us. And you know, we've been able to weather this lack of export program here lately because of the new crush demand, and that's been great. I'd hate to see where our basis would be without these newer crush plants around here, but yeah, it's it's an issue, and I think it'll eventually, you know, exports will pick up again eventually, you know, when U.S. and Brazil values come back into line a little bit more again, and it's just, but it's not going to happen anytime real soon, doesn't look like. I mean, the spread has narrowed up a little bit, but we're still more expensive than Brazil, FOB basis, and it's going to probably be that way for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah. When USDA announced this morning that China bought a couple of loads of beans, did it change your attitude about anything? Does it raise your expectations that maybe China's coming in now?
No, not really, I guess. I was out the store pretty early this morning, so I did see that come up. Was it new crop or old?
Old. 104,000 of old crop is all it okay. is.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, just barely met the threshold for reportable, yeah. But it's better than zero, I guess. You know, it could be a little bit of a backup plan for later in the summer before our harvest. You know, if they get some off quality coming out of Brazil or something like that. I don't know that any of the details on it, but yeah, it's okay to see export sales this time of year, but we're going to need a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, we certainly are. We certainly are. You know, you asked the question, or made the statement, it's hard to imagine where we would be if it wasn't for that crushed demand that is coming to your part of the world. I wonder if China wouldn't still be buying U.S. beans if they didn't think that, and hear all the talk, all the speculation, and all the effort and investment into domesticating the U.S. bean market. They're not going to wait until the last minute. If there's an adjustment to be made, they're going to make it when they think they need to make it. And they've moved from the U.S. to Brazil as a primary supplier. And boy, it's just, it is hard to take. There's no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
And what's your attitude on risk management on beans then?
Yeah, on soybeans, I think, you know, any little rally here needs to be sold. Yesterday was pretty encouraging, and I think it was just a one-day rally in a downtrending market now, it looks like. And you know, new crop beans, if we get them anywhere back near that $12 mark, I think the guys got to be selling them. You know, we are 30 to 40% hedged on our bean marketing plan here as well. Yeah, you know, we could be seeing quite a significantly lower prices by the fall if you know, some of these acres swing from corn over to beans. So that's always a concern. And if demand doesn't pick up, you know, we could be quite a bit lower by fall. But long ways between here and there, we have a crop to raise yet, and we're, you know, 2 full months away from the yield determining time frame for beans. So just because, you know, we think price might be lower at harvest doesn't mean we can't see rallies between now and then either. So I would be a seller of rallies, no doubt about it, in soybeans.
Gotcha. Okay. We talked about the wheat crop. We didn't talk a lot about wheat demand. Boy, when you hear what's going on in Russia and in Ukraine, as far as some of the crop issues that they've got over there, you start thinking, hey, we're going to pick up some demand, and then Turkey comes out and throws a bucket of water on it and says, yeah, we're just not going to import any. What a shift in attitude.
Same story,
in a
different
short
year
time.
For wheat.
same story, different year.
You know, yeah, same thing happened during the Ukraine invasion. You know, we just, you know, always thought this export business was coming our way in wheat, and it never came to fruition. Gave us higher prices for quite a while, though, so that was nice. But, yeah, it just seems like we're always, you know, that facing our tail in the wheat market as far as export demand. We're at such a competitive disadvantage to the Middle Eastern destinations relative to Russia, so it's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. September spring wheat futures, 703.5. on the close, down 12.75 cents. What's that do to your urgency to get something done?
Yeah, I like 750 a lot better, but I don't know that we can get back there. There's still really good carry in the spring wheat market. You can sell May and, you know, March and May futures at a pretty good premium in September. So that's kind of always my marketing plan on wheat, is to store as much as I can because and capture some of that carry, capture a little bit better basis in the wintertime. So that's kind of my plan there.
Okay. Yeah. You are exactly right. The September 703 and a half, the Deese is 720 and a quarter. Heck, even that, even just out to the Deese is worth putting some spring wheat in the bin. But the March 733 yep. and three quarters and the May 738. So those carries are definitely in the market, and do some marketing around, some efforts to make sure that you can capture it. You looking at cattle at all?
Yeah, been looking at cattle a little bit. They've had a real tough week, feeder cattle, especially, you know, at August feeder cattle is one I've been watching closely. We've really struggled with that 260 area. Now we've kind of set back to 250. That thing kind of seems to want to jump in $10 increments like that. So I don't know. The fundamentals of the cattle market are still pretty darn good. There's just not enough cattle out there, so I'm not too worried, but I would like to see it bounce off this 250 area at a, you know, pretty good day today. Yep. But yeah, it's been pretty heavy this week.
Yep. Choice beef today was up 104 this morning at 317.25, Ryan. That's a heck of a price on the heavyweight choice boxes.
Yeah.
Buddy, be safe out there, okay? And we'll talk to you again soon. All right. That's Ryan Wagner. No worries, bud. No worries. Ryan Wagner, Bolt Marketing.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans' per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a one-ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8-ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here on your Friday afternoon with Chip Flory.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. Back from World Pork Expo this week. I definitely want to talk to you about that just a little bit at some point here if we can. But, you know, listening to Ryan's tractor cab confession.
Sins of the spring.
And thinking back over other conversations with farmers, with, you know, analysts, with all sorts of people. You know, it just makes me think. You ever have one of those days where you just can't seem to get any momentum going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As an example, your alarm clock doesn't go off. Oh, great. Okay, so now I'm late. Okay, so now I get in the, oh, I got a flat tire. Okay, well, what now? Oh, now the road is closed, right?
Yeah.
It's like you find yourself just sort of inching forward and knowing where you want to get, and yet forces beyond your control have intervened repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's the tale that Ryan Wagner talked about his growing season up there.
Yeah. And it's the kind of growing season that we've had in a lot of spots of the Midwest, including in Iowa. And, you know, we need this weather to clear up. I'm looking at the extended forecast right now. Currently at the bunker, it's 77 degrees. It's beautiful. It's a little cloudy, but it's beautiful. But, when we get through the weekend, there's a chance of rain. Early next week, another chance of rain. But by the time we get to next weekend, things are looking really, really good, which is really, really important because on Sunday, June 16th, is the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol. Now, here's the deal. It's a got to attend for a lot of corn growers in the state. But unfortunately, not everybody's going to make it, but fortunately, they've got big plans for a big crowd there in Newton, Iowa.
That sounds great.
Let's hear about it, Joe. Stu Swanson is the Iowa Corn Growers Association First Vice President. He joins us right now. Stu, how has the season been at the intersection of Highway 3 and I-35 there in the middle of Iowa?
Well, 2024 is certainly a different year than we've experienced in the last three. So we started out early in April with some great planting conditions and got some corn in the ground. Things looked great. Short window of about 2 days to do some planting. and then we were rained out, and it hasn't really stopped raining since. So it's been a struggle and a little bit of a frustration in Wright County getting that crop finished up, but come around June 1, most of that is done and the corn has been sprayed, so we're feeling a little better.
Good, good, good. Hopefully that means that some of the growers up in that area are going to be able to get down to the raceway. The race is June 14 through the 16th. What do you hope that the members of Iowa Corn take from race weekend?
Yeah, we have over 1,000 members and growers that are planning to attend, but because of the planting conditions, some of them are still home working, and they'll be cheering along, watching on TV, and we're hoping to showcase the power of ethanol grown from corn right here in Iowa and show how that can also be used on the roads of Iowa and across the country. So we want to share that message of the value of ethanol in terms of environment and performance and cost savings for consumers with people that haven't heard that message, and reinforce that with the positive things that agriculture can do for the entire world.
Yeah, it is a great showcase for ethanol and for Iowa corn, Stu. There's no question about it. Where can listeners go for more information on ICGA, how corn grows Iowa, and the race weekend and the Iowa Corn 350?
Yep, everything can be found on the web by going to www.iowacorn.org.
Fantastic, Stu. Good luck. Have fun at the race. That is Stu Swanson, Iowa Corn Growers Association, first vice president. The Iowa Corn 350, Davis, coming up on June 16th. It's at the Iowa Speedway there in Newton, and it's powered by ethanol, baby. NASCAR has made a big deal out of the fact that they want ethanol. They want the octane that ethanol is bringing to the game. I mean, think of the conversations that we've had over the years, and it's been a long time since we've had Dr. Andy Randolph on the show.
Oh, sure. I was just trying to remember. Yeah,
to talk about the benefits of ethanol and to talk about how ethanol and the octane that it brings to the game has helped to advance the engine developments for NASCAR. It's a fascinating conversation with Dr. Andy. We should get him back on sometime and recast some of those. Yeah.
Do I remember correctly, at least at the time he was working for Childress? Is that where he was?
ECR.
He was coming out of?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So he's no small timer when it comes knowledge of these engines and the propulsive effects of ethanol.
That is exactly right. You never know. We might have a few more of these conversations leading up to race week, leading up to the race next week. So we'll see what kind of conversations we can pull together on it. But Iowa Corn 350, powered by ethanol, coming up June 16th. Iowa corn growers are excited about it. They're proud of it. And should be a great weekend.
Yeah.
Okay?
That sounds really good.
All right. Have you gone to the weather forecast yet, or is that something that...
Well, we can continue to sort of make words longer than they need to be while I do. Yes, 6 to 10 day outlook.
Okay, is that for June? Issued on June 7th?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Give us the details.
All right, I got above normal temperatures from the panhandle of Texas making a swoosh up through the Corn Belt. Going to go right through the gut slot of the Corn Belt. Looks like it's going to miss the southern edge of Minnesota, about halfway through Wisconsin. Pretty much the whole country expected above normal temperatures, except up in the PNW, where they're expected below normal temperatures, right up in the corner of our beloved nation. On precip, we've got some above normal chances across the western Corn Belt. There's a dry slot of near normal expected over, call it Illinois, Missouri, and then below normal precipitation expected further east. Flipping out to the 8 to 14 day, looks about the same. The above average heat moves a little further west over to the Great Lakes region. Still cold in the PNW, and the precipitation outlook includes all of Texas now in the 8 to 14 day precipitation outlook. There you go.
Above
Eyes on the skies
precip.
This weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Above normal precip in the western Corn Belt, including Wisconsin, all of Iowa, and Minnesota in that 8 to 14 day. Thanks for listening this week. Come back on Monday morning. We got Machinery Pete here on AgriTalk.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at FBN.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or